Hey, what's up, fanatics? Welcome to today's Instant Reaction Podcast. Iowa State loses to TCU 84-77. I thought, for one, that the officials were horrible today. Brent Bloom, do you agree?
That don't start there.
Listen, Iowa State lost the game today, but that was one of the worst officiated games you'll see all year.
I won't disagree with that, but that's not the reason.
No, it's not the reason they won, but I'm calling them out. It was a poorly officiated game.
I would start with Brodziansky. He's 25-13 would be my first choice.
Now, the key stat, I had some guy tweet me on, I don't know the off the top of my head, but it was the combination of Monte Morris and Deontay Burton. What were they?
They were 5 of 24.
Yeah, Monte was 4 of 14 today, and Deontay was 1 of 10. That was the epitome of bad Deontay.
But even other than that, C-Dub, it was the 57% field goal shooting. And now this is two games in a row where Iowa State's field goal percentage defense has just been very poor. I mean, even though they beat Oklahoma State, they weren't very good. And I think that's a cause for concern. I mean, we wrote about it last week about how the defense has improved.
No, we jinxed them.
I don't know if it's a jinx or
no, we
the
did.
Talent level is much better now that they're playing against. And the lack of rim protector has been a little bit exposed. I mean, when the Brodziansky kid is 25-13, I actually had no answer for him.
He's the new Spangler.
That's
that kid.
That's hard. We got a friend that got the instant reaction.
I want to introduce my friend. He's a newbie, to longtime listener to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. He's one of my oldest friends from college, Ryan. We're going to just do his first name, because he's actually an engineer, so I don't want to throw him on the record too much here.
Thank you for that.
But he's a passionate Iowa State basketball fan. And so we actually had a big weekend when we were all going to get together, all of us college friends, and stay at a hotel and take the kids swimming and all that. But the snowstorm or the ice storm, the impending ice storm kind of – so we – that ruined it, so everybody kind of came to my house instead to watch the game. And Ryan, what did you think of today's game? Are you upset? Are you angry?
No, to be honest, I'm not. No, I don't think so. I honestly thought if there was a way to lose that game that wouldn't upset you either way, this is the way it happened. I mean, you weren't really close there at the end. You never really had a chance to win it, but they didn't. I didn't think they played terribly. The defense was suspect, and like you said, the core players weren't great. Donovan Jackson, especially in the first half, he went banana sandwich.
He was going crazy,
yeah. And he looked awesome.
He had 16 points in 4 minutes,
yeah,
or something like that. Yeah,
yeah. I think somebody tweeted out that he had 13 points in a row or something like
it was
that.
Insane.
It was give him the ball and he's gonna get buckets. Wheeler Bab, I think, played very well.
Yeah.
It just came down to you had really, really bad Burton, which honestly is going to happen. You're going to have bad Burton. There's going to be games where you have good Burton too. But
I feel bad for Steve Prohm in the sense with Burton, because he's 1 for 10 today. He was spectacular the last cup, or the Texas game.
Yeah.
How long do you stay with that guy? Because Solomon Young barely played today, and I really haven't been on social media or the Fanatic forums, but I can almost guarantee you that's going to be the narrative from today's game, and rightfully so, because I mean, I said that to you guys 10 minutes ago. Burton's killing him today.
Yeah.
I wish he'd just put Young in, because Young, at least, you know what you're getting. With Deontay, you had a great line, Ryan, when we're watching the game. You're the only thing consistent about him is that he's inconsistent. And that, today, it's just there were a couple plays, it's just you want to pull your hair out with that guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of learning opportunities though there with Prohm, and I think Prohm is having to juggle that and having to make sure that he keeps Deontay engaged. So I think you run the risk. If anybody would know, it's going to be Prohm on when he needs to push and when he needs to pull when it comes to Burton. I don't know. I think you'll see is you're gonna have a good game out of Burton coming up. I think Kansas, he's gonna be ready, and I think you said it in one of your other podcasts that when it comes to Burton, he shines the best when the lights are the brightest.
He does.
So I think some good things are gonna be coming for him.
Problem is you can't even determine him minute to minute. He can be really good and then make a dumb play. And at some point I think Iowa State's really got to reevaluate how they play defensively. And to me, that would mean more Solomon Young, because he at least provides a rim presence there. And now this is, Solomon, the Oklahoma State kid, got him for a double-double on Wednesday, and then Brodziansky goes 25-13. Kansas doesn't have great post players, so that doesn't concern me. Maybe on Monday, but to give up 57% shooting, that's that's bad.
That's so really
that's just not going to do it. So
the
whether Burton's doing good offensively or not, Iowa State still scores 77. You know, and they shoot 47%. Burton was really bad. You'd like
and Monte was
and Monte
bad.
Was so yeah. Offensively, you're okay. It's just defensively they got. This is back to the lab here defensively because it wasn't very pretty.
Well, it didn't look that bad though, right? Like when I watched it, I wouldn't have thought.
I'm with you in the first half, Ryan. I didn't think that they played bad defensively. It was a lot like the Texas game where it's just like, man, I actually gave more credit to TCU because they were moving the ball. I mean, it was beautiful how they were moving the basketball.
What's the dude's name? I think everybody will know who I'm talking about. The point guard for TCU.
Fisher.
Fisher. Yeah. I thought Fisher and Ivan, the tall dude.
Rob Sanchez.
Yeah, I can't say.
Ivan Drago.
Ivan Drago. Those two
TCU Spangler. We're just calling that.
TCU Spangler. Yeah, those two dudes literally just ate Iowa State apart.
Yeah,
that was it.
The issue is it's too easy for Brodzi. If he's going to catch it 4 feet from the rim and just have to lay it up. I mean,
but I think he even still. Yeah, you're right. He also had a baby hook. Yep. I think with like 10 minutes left, yep. where he was far away, and I was like, oh, that's a long way to go for an outside baby hook, and he still hit it. Like he played really, really well. It's weird to me, like after I looked at it, that he only played 21 minutes. I felt like he was in there all the time. Yeah. I was like, are they ever going to take this dude out?
No, you're right. He was.
He was all over.
That's why I keep comparing him to Spangler because it's like no matter what happened, like with Iowa State and Oklahoma, it was like Spangler was
except
just terrorizing.
Except for he didn't miss the layups.
I wasn't a huge Jameel McKay fan because a lot of the attitude stuff that was a constant drama last year. Excuse me. I've never missed Jameel McKay more than I did today, though, Bloom. Like, they really, I mean, you talked about Solomon Young, but the lacking of a rim protector was just, I mean, that hit you upside the face today.
So now the question is, the four-guard lineup has been really good for Iowa State offensively. And again, they were good offensively today. I mean, Burton wasn't good, but and Morris was average. But defensively now, you got to think, do I need to play Solomon Young more? Do I need to play Merle Holden more? To at least slow
Merle
down.
Merle Holden hasn't played in three games.
And Brodzianski got – TCU in general got really comfortable in that first half. Even Shepherd was 3-for-3 from the floor, and he hasn't really played at all this year because they've been catching the ball right next to the rim and laying it in. If Iowa State's not going to force turnovers, and they forced a couple in the second half, they're just – I don't know. I mean, I wrote about how good their half-court defense has been, but they got exposed again.
They forced 15 turnovers today. You never would have guessed it.
No, they got some problems now that they got to fix because when you face teams with multiple bigs that are athletic and they can, you know, they can hang with Iowa State's guards. And Brodzianski was really good, but he's not the best big guy in the conference, so it makes you a little bit concerned going forward.
So I got two questions. One, do you think Holden is lost now? I mean, he hasn't played in three games. He's a senior. You think that's what's going to happen there?
At some point,
the fact that he's a fifth-year guy makes me think that you could throw him back in there and maybe get something out of him.
He's not going to be an offensive guy. Yeah, they've kind of made the move now where they're going to spread everybody out, play the four guards, and then it's really kind of like what Fred did with that Lucius Clyburn team.
Which I think was his best team. I think you can make that argument. Yeah, it could have gone the farthest at least.
And now, but you get killed if anybody has a capable big guy that can handle the ball. And then the double teams were not working. It's just, give up 56%, you're not winning many games.
So then my other question then is, so we talk about how, like when you go up against competent big men that we're not going to succeed, but why the success against Baylor? If you would have said, like, what team is going to give you the most issues, you would have said, oh, it's Baylor because of their length and their athletic ability. And we actually played very well against them, better than against CCU. So.
And that's where it comes back to Fisher was really good, and their ball movement was good, and Baylor's was less so.
I was super impressed.
They were able to get Iowa State kind of off kilter and then find a big guy.
Can I tap the brakes on this just for a second, though? There are not many nights when Iowa State's going to have Deonte Burton and Monte Morris go 5-for-24.
No, I hear you.
That's why I'm not upset about this game. I don't think it's anything. Like, you lose to a good team on the road –
Great point. And TCU's so much better than they were.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Jamie Dixon's done a phenomenal job.
They're going to be, like, what, fifth, sixth in the Big 12?
I don't know. I don't know about that. But, I mean, I'm looking at the Big 12 standings right now, and they're you know, they're 3-2, 14-3.
I think they're better than Texas. I think they're better than Oklahoma.
They're tied, actually, Iowa State and TCU are tied for fourth right now. So, right now, they're sitting in fourth.
Yeah, I think you're going to be middle of the road, you know, like, what, like a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament or something along those lines?
It's crazy. I would give some credit to Trent Johnson, too. I mean, he laid the foundation there, and Dixon's really coming. And
the fact that he's turned Brodzianski into an all-league player, the way he's playing. And then Fisher was great. So yeah, he's recruited well. Parrish made some shots today, which he's hit and miss. That's a good team. It's hard to win on the road. That's a game, though, Iowa State may look back on and say, you know, wish we could have had that one. They'll play them up in Ames. I think they'll beat them up in Ames, but
at least they won on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's why these two games you had to split.
Iowa State got a split.
So
yeah.
How do we feel? So Kansas today, I don't know if you guys watched it. It was the most vintage Kansas Allen Fieldhouse game ever on a Saturday afternoon. They
without like a four-step travel, without
the Big 12 refs showing up and the at Big 12 refs on Twitter showing up at the end of the game. No, but Okie State, who I know Bloom feels this way too. Like, we don't think that they're really indicative of their 0-5 record in the Big 12. They've played the worst schedule in the league. They're going to win some games.
Yep.
But they, you know, they played with them for about 35 minutes. Well, longer than that, really like 38 minutes. Kansas pulls away at the end. But so how do we feel about Big Monday in Ames?
You know, I don't think today either outcome changes my perspective on that game. I would say it's going to be ready to play. You know, Kansas is always ready to play. Bill Self's a fantastic coach. I mean, a lot of Iowa State fans don't like him because he wins, but he's really good. He'll have his guys ready. Mm-hmm. But I think matchup-wise, Iowa State matches them pretty well. Their best players are clearly Mason and Graham, both guards. Iowa State has all the guards. They don't really have a big guy that's even as good as Brodzianski for TCU. Yeah. So
what a crazy statement.
I mean,
that's the craziest statement we've had on the site in years.
They don't have a big guy as good as TCU.
Come on.
No, I mean, they don't. No, you're offensively.
I'm not saying you're right. Wrong. I'm saying, it's an insane statement to make, but you're right.
So I think this is a game. Kansas will be favored, I think, by a couple. So I feel coming outside underdog.
What do you think? So, well, Chris is the kind of the
point spread.
What do you think?
Three or four.
Kansas. Yeah, I would agree with Brent. Kansas by three.
I'd say two. I think it'd be closer.
Anywhere two to four. I think that's your range.
Iowa State's
usually when we play this game, Bloom, over at the Founders Pub in Bondurant, we give each other a 2-point buffer. I would say anywhere from there. 2 to 4.
I think Iowa State's beaten them twice now in a row at Hilton. I think they get a third one. Mm-hmm. I mean, this TCU game you're looking at, you're probably down a little bit on Iowa State, but I always like the saying, basketball happens. Iowa State did not play well defensively today. TCU made some shots, but mm-hmm. I think Iowa State's going to be ready to go. And matchup-wise, they match up really well with Kansas.
I want to reiterate this point. I know how inconsistent Deontay Burton is. I mean, trust me, I understand that. But I also think when you narrow it down, who are Iowa State's two best players? I think it would be Monte Morris, and I think you would have to put Deontay Burton just because of his potential to go off for
when he's on.
Yeah, because he has that potential. He doesn't have the consistent. But I want to reiterate the point. They don't go 4 for 24 too often.
I will make a strong argument, though, that I'll take Donovan Jackson and two because of his defense.
Wow.
And he goes.
Bold take.
I'll take it, though.
Now, that's a scorching hot take, but I love him a lot. That's why I brought you on the podcast.
Hey,
I love it.
You pointed this out a couple weeks ago that, like, you watch him on defense. That guy he is a gnat. And he just sits there all the time. And he is up in somebody's face, up in their grill all the time.
Well, we were talking.
And he can nail shots. And he can dribble drive. Like, I honestly think, like, if I had my, like, he is number two. Naz and him.
Bloom,
Monte and him.
We were talking about this before you got over because Bloom didn't want to be a very good friend, didn't watch the first half with us. He's the guy when you're playing like pickup ball at the local high school or at the YMCA who you just want to like punch in the face because he plays too hard, right? Yeah. It's like, dude, we're all playing a 2-3 zone here and we're walking up and down the court. You don't have to try and pick my pocket while I'm walking the ball up the court. That's Donovan Jackson.
Yeah, and he was. That's the best he's played in the first half. He didn't score in the second half though.
Yeah,
so I think that's a little bit hit and miss with Donovan where. You can't rely on him to be the guy. I would say needs.
But he's not going to be, you know, though, right? You have Thomas and Naz all these other guys that like are kind of in a pecking order above him.
But he was pretty good. I thought Wilder Babb's pretty good for the most part today. So they had some decent performances. But you're right. I think the story of the game, C-Dub, is 4 of 24 from Morrison Burton, mm-hmm. and then allowing 56% from the floor.
Yeah.
You give me those two stats, I would say it's not winning the game the rest of the year.
Yeah, and
the officials didn't help. They didn't help.
For the record, I was kidding when I opened it. I was just trying
to. It has
troll.
Nothing to do. Like, don't get and don't like, don't anybody get it twisted.
TCU
this has
was
nothing
better.
To do with the refs, but they weren't good.
No, it was
they were not.
They were as bad as the announcing crew was. Today.
Oh, they were terrible
for Fox Sports. Whatever.
I don't know why Dan Aykroyd went from Ghostbusters to announcing TCU games, but it's bad. It's bad news. Bad news.
All right, man. I love it, Ryan. You're welcome on the podcast anytime. I know you live in Minneapolis.
Dude, though. This is a dream come true. Dream come true.
A little higher than that, yeah. Buddy boy.
Shoot for the stars, my man. All right, hey, you guys enjoy your Saturday night. We're going to go. I think we ordered some Casey's pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Our apologies, too, if you heard little girls screaming in the background. Nothing weird's happening. It's just our daughters. They're going down slides and playing in a ball pit, and it's kind of crazy here at the Williams house. So
beware of that ice storm, by the way.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Well, that's a huge story.
I don't know if Kansas can make it.
I'm assuming Kansas left today. They about had to.
But probably they should have. Tomorrow morning.
Could they get a hotel in Ames?
Just go over to the old Hoiberg mansion. They could all just sleep on the floor. Like, they'll find a room for them. All right. He's College Buddy Ryan. That's your new name.
College Buddy Ryan. Got it.
Bloom. I'm Williams. Later.